Hey, y'all can be seated. Thank you for being with us today. If you're a guest for the first or second time with us today, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, we announced that we're starting a brand new sermon series. And then we said, we're not going to tell you what it is. You have to come back to church to figure out what it is. But I know y'all are pretty smart in this room. So chances are you figured this out a long time ago, right? You didn't need the front page of this worship guide to realize that the new sermon series that we're in, we actually started about 6 months ago in November. We're studying verse by verse through the book of Luke. And today we're going to pick up with kind of the second half of this sermon from last week, the Easter sermon. This is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. I realized something, though. I realized that there's an announcement that I should have made a long time ago to the parents and the grandparents in this room. So I want you to listen for just a second to me very carefully. If you have children with you, on an average Sunday, if you were to use like the motion picture ratings for my sermons, I think my sermons would come in somewhere around the PG ratings. I'm typically not preaching a G-rated sermon, but I'm also typically not shying away from some of the tough topics, some of the challenges in our culture. But you do need to know something from me, parents. I have no problems tackling hard passages of Scripture, and I also will not hide from the hard issues of our society. So there will be some Sundays where my sermons are PG-13. I'm going to make a promise to you, church. I typically go verse by verse through passages of Scripture in the Bible, and I try to use them to kind of bring to light what we're experiencing in our society. I'll never say something that's vulgar. I'll never say something that's dishonest. I won't say something that dishonors Jesus Christ, but I'm also not going to shy away from really tough topics. So parents or grandparents, if you have children with you, you need to decide, do you want them to be in here in church with you, or do you want to place them in kids' church? I probably should have said that to y'all a long time ago. Okay, today's topic of discussion from the book of Luke is faith. What does real faith look like? And I want to use a couple of examples right up front to describe what we mean by real faith. Do you know that we do this in our society every day? We do this all of the time. Go to the produce aisle of a grocery store, and people are examining fruit and vegetables to see, is it good? Is it real? Is it okay to use in my recipe? And I have seen, ladies, not just you, but I've seen you especially do some of the craziest stuff at the produce aisle of the grocery store. Like, you will speak to this thing, and you will smell it, and you will thump it, and you will rub it up and down against your skin. I don't even know what you do to figure out if this is good on the inside. I wouldn't be surprised if I walk by and you've already taken a bite out of it and then just decided that's not good and you put it back. Like, we have these crazy ways of determining, is what's inside here good? Because by the outside, I'm not really sure. Guys, don't act like it's just the ladies in this room, because you do it too. You do it at the lumber yard. You pick up a board and you say, is this board any good? Can I use this board right here for my project? Is it bent? Is it knotted? Is it warped so bad that I can't use it? This board, I'm not exaggerating, came from my backyard. It came from my fence in my backyard. This will tell you something about the guy who put up the fence in my backyard. It'll tell you something about his skill level. You do this all of the time. You examine stuff around you to decide, is it good on the inside? And Jesus is going to use this today to describe faith. He's going to describe real faith. In fact, we're going to use the word real as an acrostic today, and we're going to take a look from Luke chapter 6 at what real faith looks like. If you've got a paper Bible, go ahead and flip open. It's probably already falling open by now to the book of Luke chapter 6. If you're following along in our mobile app, you just click that button that says today's sermon. We're in Luke chapter 6, and we're going to start looking in verses 37 and following. If you're following along in that paper worship guide, here's the first thing that I want you to write down. Real faith is willing to risk it all on Jesus. And risk, I'm referring to right now about your heart. Real faith is willing to take risks at the heart level and risk it all on Jesus. Listen to how Luke describes this. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 37. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gifts will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make more room, or make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. Risk it all at the heart level on Jesus. All right, let's just start with this phrase that Jesus starts off with. Don't judge others. I want to kind of tackle a cultural idea today. It's the idea that Miley Cyrus sings about, like, only God can judge you, so forget the haters because somebody loves you. Is it really true that only God can judge people? Well, the word judge that Jesus is using here, it's actually translated differently. We just saw it translated in this passage. The word judge is the same word used to refer to condemn somebody. And it's the idea of looking at that person at the heart and making heart-level assessments about somebody based on what you see on the outside. And sometimes what I'm trying to show you today is sometimes the outside can be deceptive. Sometimes the outside looks okay and the inside really isn't. Sometimes the outside looks bad and the inside really isn't. And Jesus is using this analogy for us today. You don't have the capacity to see inside a person's heart, but God does. And God certainly measures, weighs the heart. He knows whether that heart is good or whether the heart is bad. Typically speaking, though, good actions come from a good heart. We're going to see this really clearly today. Bad actions typically come from a bad heart. Bad words usually come from a bad heart. There's something wrong at the relationship level when the actions and the words don't line up with the, or when the attitude and the words don't line up with the claims of the heart. I've seen this in reality. Churches will often decide, they take personal preference, right? And they kind of examine somebody based on personal preference. They say, I want people to look like me, and I want people to talk like me, and I want people to act like me. And I've been walking with Jesus for 50 years, so I want everybody who walks in the door of my church to act like they've been walking with Jesus for 50 years. I have had people in our church come to talk to me after the service is over with, and while they're talking to me, they slip up and they curse. And then they get really embarrassed about themselves and they try to say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. And I think to myself, I don't say it out loud, but I think to myself, you're exactly the kind of person that we're trying to reach. You're the right person to be in church today. If you don't even know how to talk in church, you're the right person. And that tells us that we're reaching the right audience. If you're just still trying to figure out, what does this look like to walk with Jesus? Sometimes we try to place our personal wants or our personal preferences on other people and force them to kind of live the way we want them to live. And Jesus is saying, anybody can do the actions. It's the heart level that is most important. He uses this analogy. Okay, ladies, you do this when you're making when you're baking a recipe and you take some brown sugar. You press it into the measuring cup to make sure that you've got the right measure, right? Well, in Jesus' day, when you went to go buy grain at the market, you would take a picture like this, and you would fill that pitcher up. Well, in order to make sure that the entire pitcher was full of grain, you would press the grain in there. And Jesus says the kind of way that God rewards people is by filling this pitcher up to the point that it's spilling over. It's been pushed down into every nook and every cranny, and it's spilling over. Or if you couldn't bring a picture, you would take your tunic and you would fill up your tunic with grain and you would carry it home in your lap. And Jesus says the kind of reward that you're going to get for a good heart, for real faith, it's spilling out onto your lap. This isn't divine karma. This isn't what comes around goes around. This is God examining the heart and then God rewarding or God punishing based on the heart. And it's found throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy 15:10. God gives generously, and to those who give generously, the Lord will bless you. Proverbs 19:17. Those who help the poor, the Lord will help you. Isaiah 65:7. talks to somebody who passes judgment, who's evil to other people, and it says that God, the Lord, will repay them for their sins. And in Proverbs 28:8, it says, when you loan to people and you're just doing it because you want interest back, the Lord will take that high interest and he'll put it in somebody else's pocket because your heart is bad, your heart is wrong. God says, I want you as my people to give generously. And I want you to give your heart. I want you to give love generously. I want you to take the kind of risks with your heart that my son Jesus took. That's what real faith looks like. I want to challenge you this week, church. Go out this week and show love to somebody who cannot repay you for it. Go out this week and do for somebody who can't do anything for you. Put the love of Jesus on display. Show real faith by the way that you live your life. That's the first step in this real faith, is to risk it all in Jesus. The second step is to examine your own heart first. And it always, don't forget, Jesus is talking to his people. So it always starts with us looking at us before we look at somebody else. And then he uses this famous passage today to describe us examining our own hearts first. Verse 39. Then Jesus gave them the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? You've heard this phrase used many times, the blind leading the blind. Well, that's where this phrase comes from. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teachers, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. He says, and why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye, and you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. All right, Jesus has a good sense of humor, right? Jesus has jokes today, and he's going to kind of use these ridiculous analogies to describe what it looks like when we examine somebody else, but we're not willing to examine our own hearts. And he starts off this by the blind leading the blind. How many of you in this room have ever been through a corn maze? Or maybe you did that Coconut Creek maze down in Panama City, Florida. How many? Really? That's it? Nobody else? Okay. When you were in the middle of this life-size maze and you were frustrated and didn't know how to find your way out, did you stop and ask advice from somebody else who's in the middle of the maze, frustrated and can't find their way out? People do this all the time. It drives me crazy. It's funny if you think about it. You're stuck in the middle of this maze, got no idea where you're at or how to get out, and you ask some random stranger who is probably more stuck and more confused than you are, how do you find your way out of the maze? And now you've got two people that are totally confused, trying to give each other directions on how to find your way out. Jesus is using this as an analogy. People who are far from God often give advice to others who are far from God. And basically, you have the blind leading the blind here. Really, what somebody who's far from God needs is a believer, somebody who's got this passionate relationship with Jesus, saying, I can help you. I can give you some advice because I've been where you've been, and Jesus has changed me at the heart level, and he can do the same thing for you. And then Jesus gives this ridiculous analogy. The language gives the impression that you used like a magnifying glass and you studied long and hard to find something wrong with your friend. And you finally found it. They've got a speck in their eye. And you shout, aha, sinner, you've got this speck in your eye. When the whole time that you've been looking, you have this log sticking out of your eye. The word log that Jesus uses here is the rafters of your ceiling. You have the rafters of your ceiling sticking out of your eye when you're using a magnifying glass to examine somebody else's life. Jesus is saying, this is crazy. Why don't you examine your own life first? And you would notice, I got a big problem with me sticking out of my face before I can look at somebody else's face and see what's wrong with them. It's the idea of looking at your own heart first. It's the idea of getting your own heart right first, and then you will be able to help lead somebody else, help guide somebody else about Jesus. We always look at ourselves first. and not look at the lifestyle of other people. And frankly, when you look hard enough and long enough at your own life, you're probably going to realize, man, I've got some stuff to do to work on me. You've heard it said around here, and we've said this a lot around here, behavior always, always, always comes from your belief. You can believe one way and not behave it, but you will always behave the way that you believe. Your behavior shows up in your actions. It shows up in your words. People that have done you wrong, you know, they've said something really hurtful to you, and then afterwards they say, I was just joking. I didn't really mean it. Yeah, you did. You got a mean heart, and that's why you said those words. And saying, I was just joking, doesn't make it any better. Jesus is saying, it's the heart. And those mean words, those mean actions come from a mean heart. And then he says, and this should scare us, your actions put your teacher on display. You call yourself Christian? What do people say about Christ by the way that you act? What do people have to say about your teacher, Jesus, by the words that come out of your mouth? If they could see into the deepest recesses of your heart, what would they say about your faith in Jesus, because of the way that you're living your life? He says, if you're going to have real faith, you got to risk it all on Jesus, but you better examine your own heart first. Don't start with somebody else. And when you examine it, you'll notice that you are ultimately putting your heart on display. You're advertising the condition of your heart every day, all day long. What you and I do and what you and I say puts our heart on display for other people to see. Remember this squash? You go to the produce aisle and you're trying to determine, is this good on the inside? It looks good on the outside. Is it good on the inside? Well, Jesus is going to use this analogy for us today. Listen to what he says next, verse 43. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things. Look at this. From the treasury of a good heart. Now you're advertising. Is it a good heart? Or is it a bad heart? And an evil person produces evil things from a treasury of an evil heart. What you say, the words that come out of your mouth, flow from what's inside your heart. Jesus has taken this analogy, and he's saying, people can be certain about what you believe by the words that come out of your mouth and by the condition of your heart. And if someone were to examine your heart, like it was the lumber yard looking for a piece of wood, or the produce aisle looking for the freshest fruit or vegetables, if they could see everything about your heart, what would they say about it? What would they say about your faith? If they could see deep on the inside, does it advertise that Jesus has changed you? Does it look different than the culture around you? You see, where Jesus grew up, it was hard to tell the difference between a fig tree and bushes. In fact, here's a picture of what a fig tree in Palestine looked like in Jesus' day. It would look like this from a distance. This is what you would see in Jesus' day from a fig tree. This is what a thorn bush looked like in Jesus' day from a distance. There really wasn't a big difference between thorn bush and fig tree from a distance. But when you got close, you knew the difference. It was really obvious because a fig tree looked like this when you got close. And a thorn bush looked like this. Jesus is saying from a distance, you may look okay. But when people get really close to you, does it look like this or does it look like this? Because either one of them come from the heart. It's either good heart, good fruit, or bad heart, bad fruit. And you can't hide it. Ultimately, people around you, the closer they get to you, the more they're going to know the condition of your heart. Real faith changes you. It changes you on the inside. This is what we were saying last week. It takes supernatural resurrection power to show the kind of faith that Jesus is preaching about in this Sermon on the Mount, the kind of love your enemies and do good to those who hurt you kind of faith. That's what real faith looks like. It's like the difference in a gym membership. you can sign up and become a member of a gym, right? And then you go on Easter and on Christmas and a couple of Sundays a year. And chances are, you're not going to look any different by simply just having a gym membership. You can check a block, you can make a decision for Jesus, and then nothing really looks different on the inside of you. But if you have a gym membership and you go regularly, if you allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of you, if you start to do the hard work at the heart level, pretty soon you're going to start to look different because of that gym membership. There's a difference between making a decision for Jesus and really being Jesus' disciple. And Jesus is saying the difference is at the heart level. It's like the difference between being flabby and being fit at the heart level. And the Holy Spirit shows people what's really, really going on in your heart. That's why we make such a big deal about life groups around here. We say in this big group setting, you can hide what's going on in your heart. But in life groups, when you get into small groups, you can't hide it. People have a chance to see your heart. They hear from your heart. They serve you and you serve others. They share their heart with you. You share your heart with them. And the real work at the heart level happens in small groups, in life groups, on Sunday mornings and throughout the week around here. Sometimes it happens in the big group, but it always happens in small groups. We want you plugged in sometime, somehow, during the week in a life group if you're not already plugged in there. That's where heart change happens. All right, we're spelling out this acrostic of real faith. It risks it all on Jesus. It examines your own heart first. It advertises the condition of your heart. And finally, real faith in Jesus leans on Jesus during difficult times. This is what we were singing about just a few minutes ago. I'm going to make you a guarantee. I rarely do this, but I'm going to make you a guarantee. If you trust people in this room, if you trust me, if you trust in others, I guarantee you 100% certainty at some point they're going to let you down. But if you trust in Jesus, if you build your faith on King Jesus, no matter how bad the circumstances get, he will sustain you. He will be with you. He will not let you down. That's what he says next to wrap up Luke chapter 6. Listen to this passage. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teachings, and follows it. It's like the person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on a solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it's well built. This is the opposite of the case. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. And when the floods sweep down against that house, listen to how he says this, it will collapse into a heap of ruin. Jesus says, you want to know what real faith looks like? It's like somebody building their house on the banks of the Chattahoochee River. Like if you and I watched somebody building a building on the banks of the Chattahoochee River, you and I would say, you're crazy. Are you insane? You know what's going to happen. As soon as we get several hard days of rain, the full weight of the Chattahoochee River is going to press against that house. And there's no way that house will be able to stand up to the pressures of life. Jesus says, if you're my disciple, you dig down really deep into my teachings. You put my teachings to work. And it's like building a house on a rock solid foundation. Winds come and the waters break against it. And no matter how hard the storm blows against it, the house is strong because the foundation is strong. You build your faith on somebody else, they're going to let you down. You build your faith on your own abilities, and it will fail you. You build your faith on Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, and it's like the entire weight of the Chattahoochee River pushing against it, and yet the house itself, it holds. The house is strong. Understand what he's saying here. He's not concerned what the house looks like. He's concerned what it's built on. Ladies, did you hear me? He's not concerned how much the house weighs or the kind of jewelry that the house wears or if the roots of the house is showing. He's not concerned about that stuff. He's concerned about what it's built on. Guys, he's not concerned what the house has as a title on the business card. He's not concerned the paycheck that the house brings in. He's not concerned the kind of clothes or the car that the house drives. He's concerned what it's built on. He's saying, you build your life on anything or anyone other than me, and it will ultimately let you down. You build your life on me, and no flood can press this house. No flood can destroy this house. You build on anything else, and it's going to be a heap of ruin. Put it all together for just a second. Here's what Jesus is saying to us today. This comes from Daryl Bach, who wrote the book on Luke, this commentary on Luke. He says, the argument goes like this. Don't judge, but forgive. Watch who you follow, because one of these days you're going to become like your teacher. Deal with your own problems first. Your heart is the evidence of your fruit. And if you were to add all of that stuff up, here's basically what Jesus is teaching us today. There is only one example to follow, and that example is him. The example that he gave us on the cross when he cries out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus shows supernatural resurrection power when Jesus puts his faith on display. And Jesus is saying, you and I are supposed to do the same thing. And if our words don't line up with our actions, we're actually hypocrites. There is this phenomenon shepherds have with sheepdogs. Shepherds will spend lots of money to buy a sheepdog that will help them take care of the sheep, help them round the sheep up, supposed to help them protect the sheep. And there's no way to know this when you're buying the dog, but a sheep dog can be a bad dog, and the shepherd will never know it until it's too late. During the daytime, the sheep dog is friendly, and it obeys the master, and it's hanging around the sheep and doing everything that the sheep dog is supposed to do. And at night, when nobody's around and nobody's looking, the sheep dog will sneak off among the sheep. And the sheepdog will attack the sheep, and it'll kill the sheep, and it will feast on the sheep. And then the next day when the sun comes up and the master's around, the sheepdog is going to act like everything is okay, like everything is good on the inside. And the next night when the sun goes down, the dog that's supposed to protect the sheep will actually destroy the sheep because it's got a bad heart. And the problem is the shepherds can't possibly know that until they watch the sheepdog at night and see what kind of heart this dog really has. We have this in every aspect of our culture. We have people who act one way on the outside, and on the inside, they're really not that way. And Jesus is saying, that's not how it's supposed to be with my people. In fact, this is so much a part of our culture that our commercials on television put this on display. Watch this commercial that you've probably seen on ESPN before.
It's hard to find an expert more dedicated than John Clayton. He's the consummate pro.
We'll see how the 4-3 and the cover 3 work together.
John Clayton with the latest.
Thanks, Dan. Take care.
Whenever we need a brilliant insight, he's available at the drop of a hat.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
Hey, it looks like this all over our society every day. And the truth is, people are looking at you and they're trying to examine, is your heart sincere? Are you really, really showing what you say you believe? And the judgments that they make, this should scare us, the judgments that they make about Jesus are based on the way that we live our life. Add last week's sermon to this week's sermon, and here's what you get. You get real faith has actions to it. Real faith can't be faked. It takes supernatural resurrection power to show the kind of faith that Jesus is asking us to show. Real faith puts on display for everyone, even our enemies, to see what Jesus has done inside of us. And when you have real faith, people stand up and they take notice. I want to challenge you. Each week we ask you to take the next steps. Don't just hear, but obey what you've heard from God's word today. And here's a couple of possible next steps for us today. Maybe you've been confronted with real faith for the first time. Maybe you realize you've got some work to do at the soul level and you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, I want to pray for you in just a second. But you see that little minus symbol up there? Maybe some of you in this room who follow Jesus would say, you know what? I've been living for me and not for Jesus. I haven't been putting my faith on display very well. And if that's you, maybe you got some areas that you need to get rid of, to remove from your life this week. Maybe there's some areas that you need to add to your life this week. Maybe you need to demonstrate real faith to somebody who can't repay you and who needs to see the love of Jesus. I want to pray for you. So would you bow your heads, and I want to pray for us and challenge you to respond to what you're hearing from God's word today. Father, I lift up to you right now the people in this room who claim the name of Jesus. I pray that today they would put real faith on display. They would put actions with their words, and our community would see it. That we would examine our hearts, and we would put our hearts on display for the world to see. That we would risk it all on Jesus. And when the storms of life come, and they're guaranteed to come, we would lean on Jesus and only on Jesus. God, would you help us to live out the faith that Jesus asks us to live in front of a blind world that's far, far from God? And would you give us the privilege of being able to say, I can show you the way because of what he's already done in me. Maybe somebody walked into the doors of this church. Maybe somebody is trying to understand Christianity for the first time. Maybe today, for the very first time in their life, they're realizing their need for Christ as a Savior. They're realizing that it was their sin that caused Jesus to go to the cross. It was his death on the cross as payment for their sins against you. And his resurrection 3 days later made the promise that because he lives, they will one day live again. And maybe somebody in this room needs to surrender their soul to Jesus for the first time. Holy Spirit, would you cause them to do that right now in the form of a simple prayer just between them and you? Would you cause them to simply say, God, I am a sinner, and today I am turning from my sins. I'm trusting Jesus for the first time in my life. From this point forward, I'll go wherever he asks me to go. I'll do whatever he asks me to do. And Holy Spirit, would you honor that prayer? Would you bless them because of it? Would you change them from the inside out? And let them know that they are genuine followers of Jesus because of this. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.